Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
Is the Democratic Party unified behind Joe Biden? You bet, seems to be the message that the party wants to send. Night one of the online Democratic convention was all about unity. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders urged his supporters to back former Vice President Joe Biden as the presidential nominee, while former Ohio Governor John Kasich made the case for Republicans and independents to do the same. And to cap it all off, former First Lady Michelle Obama seemed to tag the president while taking his leadership to task.
Donald Trump is the wrong president for our country. He has had more than enough time to prove that he can do the job, but he is clearly in over his head. He cannot meet this moment. He simply cannot be who we need him to be for us. It is what it is.
So let's get some reactions to the beginning of this convention, including yours. What were your takeaways from night one? Did you watch? Does this virtual Zoom approach work? And what are you looking for in this week's speeches? Maybe actually you're finding it hard to focus on something like a national convention right now. Call us with your thoughts. 800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Or you can tweet us at Radio Boston. So joining us to give some perspective is Mike Capuano, former Massachusetts Congressman and current public affairs director for the law firm Foley & Lardner. Welcome back, Congressman.
Hi, Tiziana. I wish I was with you.
Me too. So much has changed. I was actually thinking about that earlier today because you joined us in studio so frequently last year to cover what seemed at the time to be an infinite number of Democratic debates. Could you even have imagined then that this is where we would be today in any sense?
Unfortunately, yes, that's exactly where I thought we'd be. I always thought Joe Biden had the inside track. I was never 100% sure that he was going to win, obviously. But I knew we'd be unified mostly because of Donald Trump. And to be perfectly honest, secondarily because of any candidate. Most Democrats, I think, would be unified with anybody against Donald Trump, just the way he's acted as president.
So let's talk about, you just mourned the fact that we can't be in the physical studio together because nobody can do those things anymore. It is an unconventional year, and the delegates aren't together either. The DNC had to do this virtual thing with cameras in people's homes and pre-recorded Zoom speeches. Did they pull it off last night with night one?
Yeah, from what I saw. I mean, I think most people knew it was going to happen. I think they did a reasonably good job considering what they have. But you have to understand, Tiziana, I am not one who's been a big convention advocate for quite a while. I kind of think they've outlived their usefulness to a certain extent. And I think this is actually a good thing. Well, why? I mean, wearing funny hats and dropping balloons at the appropriate time when signaled, I just don't think that it makes a good connection with the average American when the fight really is not about the party faithful. The fight really is about those people in the middle. And convincing them which is the better candidate. I'm not so sure that most of those people even watch these things. At the same time, I do think that the speeches that they're giving now and seeing the different people as they talk about it, obviously the news coverage does get some of those people I just mentioned to focus a little bit more. I think they really will start focusing now. And I do think this is like the starting gun in a race, even though this part of the race has been over for a while. This is, the next leg of the race.
So given that you think the fight is about getting to the people in the middle, was this unity first? I guess I should ask you, do you agree that last night's message was a unity message? And if you agree, was that the right starting note?
Yes, I do think it was. I think it's the right way to go. I think, obviously, the Democratic Party, like the Republican Party, does and always has had. But right now, we're going through our own internal battles, just like the Republicans did a few years ago with the Tea Party. We have our Sunrise people and the like. It happens on a regular basis inside both parties. And when you let those internal divisions carry over to a general election, you lose. I think that had some of our problems 4 years ago. And I think that's most people that would be in that camp have put those divisions away. So I do think that the message you need, number one, is the right one. And number two, I think was reasonably well sounded last night, particularly in light of Bernie Sanders and Governor Kasich, both of them talking to different groups, obviously, but both of them saying, look, you know, I have a message and here's my message is we need to unify with Joe Biden.
1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK to join the congressman and me in reflecting on the Democratic National Convention. Is it still a thing that should be going on? Does this new Zoom approach maybe work better? There were several speeches last night, but the big three seem to have been Bernie Sanders, former Governor John Kasich, and Michelle Obama. Did you watch them? Did those speeches resonate with you? Or is there something else that you are hungry to hear? Call us and join the conversation. So let's hit some of the highlights and the sound from last night, Congressman. I want to play former First Lady Michelle Obama, a little bit of her speech, which is being heralded as the most effective of the night, in part because she leaned into this more fireside chat kind of feeling. Here she is making the case for Joe Biden.
Now, Joe is not perfect, and he'd be the first to tell you that. But there is no perfect candidate, no perfect president. And his ability to learn and grow, we find in that the kind of humility and maturity that so many of us yearn for right now.
What was your reaction to her speech?
My reaction?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Again, that's the
problem. Okay. I thought I was asking callers again, didn't you? Go ahead.
My reaction was very good. I thought she, again, no surprise she's supporting Joe Biden, but I think the way she delivered the message, what she said, was direct, was honest. You really have a hard time arguing with anything she said, which is good. And I think call people to a higher plane, which I think all of that is good. I thought her speech was very good.
To that point, you talk about her calling people to a higher plane. One of the things that she sort of evoked was her speech from 2016, where she talked about, you know, when they go low, we go high. Here she is giving a variation of that message this year.
Going high does not mean putting on a smile and saying nice things when confronted by viciousness and cruelty. Going high means taking the harder path. It means scraping and clawing our way to that mountaintop. Going high means standing fierce against hatred while remembering that we are one nation under God. And if we want to survive, we've got to find a way to live together.
So both of those cuts really seem to focus heavily on character. Is that the argument at the base of Joe Biden's candidacy now? Is this a character argument?
I hope so. I think it is. Look, I think a lot of this campaign, more than most I've seen, is probably going to be less about specific issues. Everybody knows where Donald Trump is on issues, and I think most people have a pretty good idea where Joe Biden is on most of the big issues. The difference is, for me, and I think for many people, we've never heard of any president of any party, no matter how they were described philosophically, going out of their way to make sure they do not represent, don't even seem to want to represent the vast majority of people in this country. I think that for most people, even if they don't agree with a president, I'm sure a lot of people didn't agree with President Obama, they wanted to have a president who they thought might listen to them and might take their thoughts into consideration and maybe could find some common ground. Now, maybe not many people or some people thought he didn't do that. But I think most people, which is why he got reelected twice, most people thought that's the way he was trying to govern. And I'm not just, I actually think that's the norm. I felt that way about Ronald Reagan. I felt that way about George Bush. I didn't agree with them very often, but at least I didn't think they completely hated everything I thought and everything I believed and hated me because of my race or ethnicity or gender or whatever else it might be. Donald Trump certainly seems to go out of his way to send those vibes along every chance he gets. So, yeah, I think the message that was sent last night is the right message, is that we need to try to respect each other and to listen to each other and work together, knowing that that's a goal that may not be achieved, but it's certainly a goal worth seeking.
So I want to actually just put out the language of some of the president's responses to last night. On Twitter today, he had a lot of tweets, but one was responding to Michelle Obama directly, and it said, quote, "Somebody please explain to @MichelleObama that Donald J. Trump would not be here in the beautiful White House if it weren't for the job done by your husband, Barack Obama," end quote, which may, in fact, give us some sense, Congressman, of what his responses are going to be and the more personal and more aggressive and insulting approach that the president favors in going after opponents.
Good luck. I mean, he is what he is, to paraphrase him, I guess. I'm kind of surprised he hasn't tried to tone all that down during the last period of this election. But he seems to be goosing it up. Why would you go after Michelle Obama? Why don't you go after her substance? Or just say, good speech, but now let's talk about issues. Whatever you want to say. To go after her and the president and President Obama personally, at this point in time, I think it just draws a big bold line under the way he governs and the type of person he is. And not a good one.
I want to come back to this unity message. I'm going to bring another guest in for just a minute in a minute. But first, I want to play a cut from Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, which took aim at President Trump's actions in the pandemic and hit another major theme that Democrats seemed to be pushing last night.
Nero fiddled while Rome burned. Trump golfs. His actions fanned this pandemic, resulting in over 170,000 deaths and a nation still unprepared to protect its people.
The convention pushed back hard on the president's handling of the coronavirus pandemic, but Bernie Sanders was also there to exhort his delegates to line up in support of Joe Biden during this election, which is, I think, a contrast to 2016 when Senator Sanders did well in both primaries. But in 2016, his delegates protested, made clear that they felt shut out. I want to now, Congressman, sit tight for a second. I want to bring in Sonia Bykofsky, who is a massage therapist in Lenox and a first-time delegate for Bernie Sanders, to get her reaction to last night. Sonia, welcome.
Hi, thank you.
So you've heard us talking about unity at the forefront of the messaging last night. Did that message ring true for you?
Certainly that is what the party is pushing. And I have to say, you know, I don't think there's a problem with Bernie delegates being on board for this ticket and for Biden. What concerns me isn't the delegates. What concerns me is the average working American who right now is having a very difficult time. What worries me is the non-voters that didn't come out last time around, the disenfranchised people who see no reason to vote because they don't feel like either party cares about them because they're spending so much time trying to put food on the table and juggle work and childcare, provide for their families. And now, on top of all of that, they are likely unemployed, a lot of people, 50 million people, I think, unemployed now. And also, many of them have no health care.
I'd love to play a little sound relevant to what you just said, because Bernie Sanders did address supporters, not just delegates, but that broader group of supporters or people who may like his message and his platform directly last night. Here he is.
Many of the ideas we fought for that just a few years ago were considered radical are now mainstream. But let us be clear. If Donald Trump is reelected, all the progress we have made will be in jeopardy.
You were just talking about a lot of people who are in pain, a lot of people who are hurting, and you said discouraged, maybe even not wanting to vote. Did Senator Sanders make a case last night that one has to get out and vote if one is a Democrat in order to make this change? Was he convincing to you?
Actually, he was convincing that not just Democrats need to get out to vote, but everyone needs to get out to vote. So yes, he made that case very strongly. I mean, you know, the guy in charge right now is a sociopath. I think we all know that. And it is imperative that we get him out. But again, that is my feeling is we just really need to get everyone, all hands on deck, out to vote. So, yeah.
So I'm sorry, Sonia, I do just need to say, we don't, I understand you're making a rhetorical argument, but we don't, in fact, all know that the president is a sociopath. There's actually been quite a bit of controversy about whether or not people can diagnose him from afar. So
okay. I
just want to call you on that one.
Thank you. All
so
right.
Listen,
he appears to be. Okay.
So listen, you're a first-time Bernie Sanders delegate. Have you felt included in the DNC convention and process this year?
I have to say the fact that this is virtual probably has a lot to do with the fact that, no, I do not feel connected. We are not there in person. We usually have the ability to be there, to be able to participate in debates and make amendments and make motions and, you know, be part of that actual process. And because of the virtual factor, we had none of that this year. So, no, I felt very disconnected. The only thing I feel like I really was able to do was vote, which was something we all got to do electronically. We had three items to vote on. We did that electronically. And that was really what I'm feeling like is the most of my participation.
And that's Sonia Baikofsky, a massage therapist in Lenox and a first-time delegate for Bernie Sanders. Thanks for giving us some time today. I appreciate it. So turning back to you, Congressman, just some general reactions to what we just heard from Sonia, who's a first-time Bernie Sanders delegate in this very unusual 2020 convention.
Well, I mean, I tend to agree with most everything she said. I actually even agree with the psychological analysis, but that's a different issue.
Don't make me call you on it, too.
That's all right. I actually think Bernie was doing, again, what he had to do. And I agree with you, what he did not do very strongly 4 years ago. Now, will it matter? I don't know. I've always thought that, you know, most of Bernie Sanders' ardent supporters were good voters, good people that wanted Bernie. And when he lost, still voted for the Democratic. I mean, I just can't, people can't look me in the face and tell me that even with all the problems they might have had with Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump would have been a better president, and I think the proof has been in the pudding. And it's the same thing here. Okay, I mean, look, that's what primary is all about. If Bernie had won, that's fine. If any of the other candidates had won, that would have been fine. There was not a person on that stage 6 months ago that wouldn't be a better president than Donald Trump. Again, I could nitpick with all of them on different issues, but that's really not the choices you have, and you can lament it all you want, that we don't get perfect candidates. I'm not sure that we ever have and ever will. And that's the wrong standard. The standard is of the people that are on the ballot who can actually win, which is the best candidate? Or if you want to look at it the negative way, which is the least worst candidate? However you want to look at it, you know, Donald Trump shouldn't get your vote.
So, Congressman, I
think it's pretty clear.
I do want to bring in one more voice here because you talked about the other candidates. We just heard from a delegate for Bernie Sanders. I want to bring in Norma Shulman. She's retired, lives in Framingham. She's a delegate for Elizabeth Warren. Norma, welcome.
Thank you.
So how are you feeling about the difference between your attendance at the convention in 2016 and what you're experiencing here in 2020?
Well, other than the logistics of not being with other people, I think that they are producing a convention that accomplishes a lot of the same purposes. I agree with both of your previous guests on a lot of different things, and I agree that the convention doesn't really have to have balloons to be an effective event. I do think that it's the opportunity to wake up the voters and let them know that they're going to have a decision to make. And this year, the decision is different. It's not a celebration of the first woman that was going to be president. It's a decision on how we're going to save the democracy. So there's a whole different tone to it. And I would love to point out a couple things about the convention. First of all,
I'm so sorry to interrupt you, and I know you want to talk more about the convention, but I hope I can get you to actually talk, because we have limited time, a little bit more about your support for Elizabeth Warren and how you're feeling about the Biden and Harris ticket. Could I get you to focus on that, please?
Absolutely. I will probably, in my heart, always be a Warren delegate, but she has supported Joe Biden, and I believe that I see her touch in all the plans that he's coming out with. And if she can work to make sure that the platform is reasonably close to what she would have liked, I'm with her. She said she's supporting Joe, so I'm supporting Joe because I'm following her. That doesn't mean that I'm not terribly disappointed that for the second time around, I was hoping to be supporting the first woman president. But I am delighted with his choice of Kamala. I think that she adds a great balance to the ticket. And I will tell you that I've been on the Biden phone banks now for quite a few weeks. And when I was able to say to people, I'm a volunteer from, instead of saying Biden campaign, I'd say the Biden-Harris campaign. And people were overjoyed. And this is
so, Norma, I'm so sorry to interrupt you. We are running short on time. I do want to thank you for joining us. That's Norma Schulman, retired, living in Framingham, and a delegate for Elizabeth Warren. Thank you so much for joining us. Oh, I think we lost Norma before she could say goodbye. Sorry about that abrupt change, but Congressman, we are in limited time, and I do want to bring up one more thing. And Norma Schulman made reference to it, and you made reference to it. We had John Kasich, Republican, ran for president, speaking last night. We had Elizabeth Warren, who was more progressive than the Biden-Harris ticket, maybe. I've got a caller we're not going to have time for calling in and expressing real concern that the really progressive end of the party was invisible last night. Is it going to be possible to walk this line, this big tent that encourages people who are moderates and maybe disenfranchised, as well as those who are really pushing for progressive change in the party, to come together?
Yes. If it's not, it'll be stunning. Again, the options are clear. Donald Trump or not Donald Trump. And in this case, it's Joe Biden. Kind of simple. We know what we get with Trump. I have yet to meet anybody who considers themselves a progressive who's satisfied with anything Donald Trump does. And therefore, anyone who claims to be a progressive who is not voting for Joe Biden, to me, is either a total perfectionist and will never be able to vote for anyone who's on a ticket to actually run for president, or they're just being totally naive. I'm not, like, people should have their philosophies. They should fight for them as best they can. And it's perfectly fine to do it in a primary. But right now, the country's future is at stake. And there's a choice to make. The choices are clear, in my opinion. And I think that anyone who claims to be a progressive in any capacity really has no choice. And if they want to move the party further to the left, well, 4 years from now, they can try it again. In the meantime, they can push it on the congressional level. They can push it on the state level and the local level. And I get that. I respect that. But in the meantime, with this election, this time, clearly and unequivocally, the most progressive candidate is Joe Biden, and people need to just support him, and I think they will.
That's former Congressman Mike Capuano, also Public Affairs Director for the law firm Foley & Lardner. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Tiziana.